sad.
So in the middle of Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Pasuk Yud Gimel is Haman relating over to Zeresh's wife and all his beloved ones everything which happened to him. And they told him, you started falling down, you're going to fall all the way. Make peace with him. Take down the gallows.
The what?
Take down the gallows. Take it down. That's what they told him. Take down the gallows. And this pasuk, there's a commentary called the Yosef Lekach. He treats the subject matter with great length. It's Larichus. But he asks a number of questions, some of them which we've answered already in last year. But he has his own way. He's got his own path. Haman was the object of bad news. He wanted to kill Mordechai. Instead, he had to disgrace himself publicly. Disgrace himself. He has garbage all over him. And the pasuk says he ran home. So the Vilna Gaon, which we said in yesterday's shiur, said, "Why did he run home? Because every moment he was in public was a disgrace to him. So he wanted to minimize the disgrace." The Yosef Lekach raises the same question: what was the rush? And he gives a different answer. He's rushing home. What's the rush? What is so important about going home? He has to tell them what happened. Like, generally, news like this, you don't want people to find out. You try and hope maybe they didn't read the newspaper that day. And he was in a rush to go home. What was the rush? Another question he asks, which is like totally in the other direction, is something which was so public. News travels fast. It's something that's so public. They're going to know anyway. So on the one hand, it's the type of thing that you wouldn't be a rush to reveal. And on the other hand, they know it anyway. So there's, either way you look at it, there's no reason to do this. Because if they don't know, you want to delay them finding out. And if they do know, then what's the rush? He takes it from both angles. Third question he asks is, we mentioned this before, that when he originally got the advice, his beloved ones are mentioned first in the pasuk, and then his wife's name. So when he got the advice, so then they were the prominent ones of this, eitzah neira to hang Mordechai. They're the prominent ones, but when it flopped, so then Zeresh is put first, and the order should have been the same. You, my beloved ones, you gave me the advice, and Zeresh, you also gave me advice. It didn't work out. Like, why does he reverse the order?
Maybe because he liked her more.
That is a part of it. It's definitely a part of it. It's very much a part of it. The fourth point he raises is, here we see the introduction of the word Chachamav. Until now we were dealing with his beloved ones and with his wife. And now you have a third group. We dealt with that also. We said the Sosemis yesterday, but he treats us his own way. You have his beloved ones, you have his wife, and you have the wise men. All of a sudden, a third group popped in here. A fifth point is the pasuk says, what did he tell them? It's kol asher karo. He told them everything. He told them everything. He didn't just tell them what happened to him. He told them everything. The word kol always includes something which is not written. What is it coming to include? So this is mahalo. Yeah, but there's only one answer. We have to enter the psyche, enter the mind of these beloved ones of him and his wife. There's what really happened and what they thought. Haman went to dispatch Mordechai to the gallows. They were expecting him to come back with the news that Mordechai was hung. Instead, they heard, because it was public, they heard that Haman is leading Mordechai through the streets. What would they think? The first thing that would come to his mind is that Haman tried to convince Achashverosh to hang Mordechai. Achashverosh refused. Achashverosh got mad at Haman for even suggesting it. And he replaced Haman with Mordechai. I mean, that is the way the event would be interpreted on the face of things, without any further information. Hummel went, they had no idea that Hummel didn't get the chance to tell Lachasverus of his plan. They didn't know that. They figured he went. He told them. And this was the response. And that's not a good thing for Haman, because that means he's going to lose his friends, his advisors, or he'll lose his broad support base. He'll lose the nomination for the Democratic Party. They'll have to find somebody more evil. He'll get dumped. That's the answer to the first question. Haman was in a rush. He was in a rush because he knew that this is what they were thinking. He knew that this is what they were thinking. He wanted to dispel this notion immediately. So he ran home to tell them, don't think that I failed in my mission. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to find another time. I'm going to have to find the right moment. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find it. This happened because Mordecai did the king a favor. The king owed him a favor. He paid him back. I never got the chance to tell the king. So he ran. And Haman also told them that not only that, but this is all, you think this is a setback? This is in the manner of all great Rishayim. You think this is a setback? No! This plays, Mom, this is my plan all along. This plays into my hands. I got Achashverosh eating out of my hands. Because, he said, Haman said, this is really an ace. He says, you know why? Because if I had gone one day earlier, before the king read from the Divrei Yom, remember, before he rewarded Mordechai, then I'd be in trouble. Because the king would be indebted to Mordechai. He saved his life. But, Menashe, like he's saying, Hashkacha Pratis of the Kayak HaSara. I came in at the exact moment when the king saw that he owed Mordechai a favor. And I'll tell you another thing. You think the king was like, oh wow, he saved my life, I want to reward him as much as possible? The king was looking for ways to reward Mordechai in such a way that he can get away with the most. We learned that originally he wanted to give him Yikar and Gedula, but then he changed it to just Yikar. And the king, he wanted to make sure that Mordechai was paid up. I want to make sure he's all paid up because I'm afraid of what Esther's going to ask for me. So the whole spirit of things is to get Mordechai's, the debt that the king owes to Mordechai. Get it out of the way. Solomon says, Mamash Anais. It's the Anais Purim. It's Mamash Anais. So he said, me leading Mordechai through the streets, he said it was very uncomfortable. I can't say I enjoyed it. But ultimately, in the end, it works out good because I did it. The king doesn't like Mordechai. The king doesn't own Mordechai. And now I could go. Now, if you were one of his advisors, and you were pinning your future on Haman, if somebody wants to work on the campaign for somebody, they're going to go with the winner. Nobody wants to be attached to a loser. And then the guy, there's a primary in New Hampshire, and the guy loses all the vote, He comes out way behind. And then he comes back to his campaign office and he says, No, you think this is a setback? No, really, 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 it's because there's only dorks that live over there. So I lost the dork vote, which means that, that's a sign that I appeal to people of higher intelligence. And the people of New Hampshire find out about it, he will never forget it. So then you're going to weigh it. You're going to weigh it. You're going to weigh it. Is this true? Is it a setback? Or, like he says, is this something which works in his favor? Now, who's more liable to believe him? His beloved ones or his wife?
His wife.
So that's why the order switched. Because he addressed his remarks to her, because she's the one that's more liable to accept what he says. She's his wife. And then if she accepts it, when you talk to a group, you address yourself to someone that's listening to you. And someone that, and then the rest of the people will listen in. It'll spread. So that's why the order switched. He spoke to Zeresh.
But she was smarter than he was.
She was crueler than he was, and she had more Eitza. She didn't agree with him. You see, she was smarter because despite his efforts to appeal to her, she didn't agree to him.
Right.
That doesn't mean that he didn't try. He tried. Why do you call him Chachamim? The Yosef Lakach also says the Chachamim are not a third group. He agrees, he concurs with the Svasemis. It was not a third group. It's his beloved ones, but they've been called by a different name. Why? Because here is where they're demonstrating that they're wiser than Haman thinks they are. Haman thinks they're dumb. He thinks he's gonna pull one over on them. He thinks he's gonna convince them. But they're wiser than that. So he calls them wise men because now the wisdom is evident. They see through it. They know. The Yosef Lakach makes a cheshbon. He makes a cheshbon that there's two ways that this could have happened. There's one way that Haman went to Achashverosh. He told him of his plan to hang Mordechai. He told him how evil Mordechai was. He said all his lashon hara against Mordechai. And then the king says, well, I don't know, it's not fair. It's not fair to hang Mordechai without giving him a chance to speak for himself. So he summoned Mordechai. And Mordechai defended every point. That's what went through their mind. Mordechai defended himself. Yohanan said that Mordechai is not loyal. Mordechai denied it. They had character witnesses, people the king trusted. So he said, that's the way it happened. So Haman's still okay. There was suspicion cast on Mordechai at Tzaddik. And Mordechai defended himself. But that doesn't mean that he's exonerated. That means the next time Haman can be more successful. You live to fight another day. And that's what they thought. But once Haman told them, they didn't even get the chance to speak to him. And at the very moment that he wanted to speak to him, Achashverosh coincidentally wanted to reward Mordechai, and Haman's the one that's going to do it. So they were wise, they were smart. And they saw it's not just that Mordechai bested Haman at a debate. This is Min HaShemayim. This is not just something which happened. The world is turning against Haman. And they saw what Haman didn't see. So they had a diametrically opposed vision, perspective to Haman. Haman was saying, if Mordechai would have beat me, okay, so that means he's up and I'm down. But this has nothing to do with it. Mordechai didn't beat me. This just happened. It's just an accident. And they said, no, Haman. They're chachamim. No, Haman. No. If he would have beat you, okay, that's derech hateva. Sometimes he wins. Sometimes you win. Next time, make sure that you get the evidence on him. Make sure it's airtight. Then we'll back you. But if it happened, that's when the Shemaim that you're going to fall. And they told him, take down the gallows. Take it down. So the answer is, why it calls them chachamim? Because they're wiser than him. And it also answers why it says, it's kol asher karo, everything that happened to him. What's it coming to include? It's coming to include this cheshbon. That it wasn't a debate between him and Mordechai. It wasn't derech hateva. It wasn't natural. It was karo. It was in the events. It was in the events. The split second timing. The prominence of Achashverosh rewarding Mordechai at the split second when Haman went in. Eis kol asher karo, the word kol includes it. So he answered all five questions. Pasuk Gedalot. Aydim and Dabim Imo, they were still talking to him. They were still telling him, take down the gallows. The Sarisi HaMelech Egiu and the foot soldiers of the king, they arrived by Avhilu L'Habi Yisaman, and they rushed. Bahala means rushed. That means without. Bahala really means formless. That means there's no time of any form or of any plan. There was no time for calculation. Immediately, by Avilu, Lavi Yisaman to being Haman Alamishta to the banquet. Asha Asasa Esther was estimated.
He was walking around the whole day.
Yeah, he had no time to take a coffee break. Yeah, no, he had. There was no. From this point on in the Megillah, things happened very fast.
Was he able to clean himself off?
I hope not.
Bathhouses are closed.
I hope not. I don't know. It would be nice if he wasn't. Now, the Yosef Lakach has a question. This question really could be we're gonna go back to it later, but Chavayna, good old Chavayna, was there at the right time, and he informed Achashverosh that there's a gallows by Haman's house waiting, just waiting to hang Mordechai. How did Chavayna, you know, we say in Shoshanas Yaakov, Agam Chavayna Zachar Latov, Chavayna, he was a key player. He told Achashverosh that the gallows was meant for Mordechai. How did Chavayna know? You have to assume that this plan was kept hermetically sealed.
That well, no one. 50 on a 12 gallows.
Yeah, but how do you know it was from Mordechai? How do you know? How did Chavayna know? So there's Chavayna. So there's many answers. There's many answers. One answer is, Chavayna was a foot soldier. He was one of the Tzvi HaMelech. He was one of the people that was sent to bring Haman to the king. And he walked in when they were talking about it. He walks in and he hears Haman saying, "Don't worry, I'm gonna hang Mordechai in that tree yet." And Chavayna says, "You gotta come to the, you know." So he knew. So again, we have an example of the Hashgacha Pratis of the Tzad HaKedusha. That someone, you know, there was a plan, it was secret, and the one person who was in place to reveal it walked in exactly, you know, exactly at the moment to overhear what he had to overhear. And according to the Yosef Lakach, that's how Chavayna knew. This is other Mefarshim. Well, we'll get back to it, but Chazal say that Chavayna wasn't there at all. Chavayna did not know. And when the Pasuk said Chavayna told Achashverosh that the tree was from Mordechai, it wasn't Chavayna. It was Eliyahu HaNavi who took on the form of Chavayna.
So we still remember Chavayna?
Yes, because Eliyahu HaNavi would not take on the form of someone that didn't have a schus. That's, you know, that's already a Mesera. That Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't take on the form of someone that has no schus. I mean, there's a famous Maisa.
Every form that he comes in.
There's a famous Maisa about this. I mean, after Shia, if you want, I could tell you the Maisa. But that's something which is handed down through the Chachmei Adairus. That if Eliyahu HaNavi appears to someone, then that person must have some schus, and he deserves credit for it. Even though he didn't do anything. The Vilna Gaon says, you look at the, when you notice the structure of the Pasuk, it says, "Adenam Adabim Imai." While they're in the middle of speaking to him, the foot soldiers came in.
Is it the Vilna Gaon?
Yes. So the Yosef Lakach that we just mentioned would say, why does he have to tell you that they're in the middle of speaking? To explain how Chavayna overheard. They're in the middle of speaking, and he walked in the middle, so he overheard. That's the Yosef Lakach's pshat. The Vilna Gaon has a different pshat. He says that the Ahava of his beloved ones and his wife Zeresh had succeeded in convincing Haman to take down the gallows. I mean, Haman was dumb, but he wasn't stupid. They convinced him. They did convince him. He was prepared to take it down. He saw that if he goes against Mordechai, he's going to go down.
Well, but he had no time.
Adenam Adabim Imai, but
how does the other way work around? Because we owe them Adabim Imai. They were speaking to him. So
take it down.
Yeah, so that means that the Vilna Gaon is telling us that they were getting food to him. They overheard something. You know,
I don't. Because
I don't tell us the exact words that they overheard, but whatever it was,
so
it was enough for Chavayna to know.
So why didn't? Yeah. Why wouldn't his Ahava take it down for him then if he got dragged away right then? If they're telling him take it down, he's like, "Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do it." And then, oh, they drag him away. So wouldn't they do it for him if they love him? I mean,
you know, I don't know for sure the answer to that, but I can think of a number of possibilities. I mean, the first one that comes to mind, which is, it's probably wrong, is that if you were there, would you want to be involved in taking the thing down? If you took it down, and someone catches you taking it down, which is, so wouldn't you be implicated?
Why?
You're removing the evidence. If you had a friend that Loya Lane who shot someone, and you asked a friend, he said, "You're going to get caught." He says, "No, no. No one saw me." You say, well, where's the gun? He said, oh, I left it in the apartment. So were you wearing gloves or no? You know you're going to hang for this. Would you go into the apartment to take the gun out?
You're a real fan.
Would you? Would you? That's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing which comes to mind...
For my brother, and this is, though, I would.
Yeah, well, these are not his brothers. Second thing which comes to mind, on the spur of the moment, is that could be they tried. It takes time to take down something that's 50 amas high. And it could
well,
be that by...
He still put it up pretty quickly.
Yes.
Well, I guess because he was in a rush, because he
yes.
said, let's do this.
Yes, I think we pointed out at the time that that was Shalika Dakateva.
But I guess they could have not done it just because they didn't know that he was going to be killed right then. I mean, it happened really fast.
No,
so
I mean,
it might not even have occurred to them to do it
yeah,
right
but
then.
After he gets back from the banquet, he'll do it.
Yeah. This is your fight, your battle against Mark.
Right, so you take it down. You take it down.
If
right.
you have help, then it's not your fight.
Right.
Anyway.
And he's not... Right, so Ruchnius took a
component.
If he doesn't take it down, so Ruchnius took wise, he fell. Ruchnius took wise, he's not making shalom with Mordecai. Ruchnius took wise, he's going to fall. Anyways, I think it's a good question. I don't know the answer. I think it provokes a lot, you know, it's a thought-provoking question. So Vilna Gaon says he couldn't take it down. I didn't have time to take it down. So Perek Zion. Let's go. Vayta. Perek Zion. Pasuk Aleph. Vayavei Amelech v'Haman. And the king and Haman came. Lishtei Semester Malka. To drink. The banquet is called the Mishta. The reason why the banquet is called the Mishta, because the main focus of the banquet is on drinking. The Vilna Gaon says, why does it say Lishtas im Esther Malka to drink with Esther the Queen? Because in the first Mishnah she didn't drink. She was still fasting. It was the third day of her fast, so she didn't drink. But in this one she did drink, so they drank together with her. And there's another difference between...
You're not allowed to drink with Gaon.
You're not allowed to drink if they pour the wine.
No, but like there's an isser of drinking in a bar where there are non-Jews.
No, there's no... It might not be the most advisable conduct to be involved with, but if you pour wine and you drink it, and somebody, you're with the company of non-Jews, you're not doing an isser. The Gemara Ksuba says that there is a measure of wine that they're allowed to drink. Not enough to become intoxicated. The Gemara actually has a shear. I'd have to look up the shear. Women do drink when it's a mitzvah, you know that. When do women drink?
Before
Kosos.
Kiddush.
Before Kosos. Oh, yeah, it was Pesach. I mean, it wasn't the Seder night. But I would say that her drinking at this Mishta was a mitzvah. Yeah, it was a mitzvah. It was a mitzvah. This is the greatest mitzvah.
It was Pesach.
It was Pesach.
Second Seder.
It was Shushan, yes. It was Chutz La'aretz.
Right.
Second Seder. It was wasn't the date. It was during the daytime, probably. Reb Shlomo Alkovitz notes the difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, she's referred to as Esther. There's no title appended to her name. Here we go. Vayemer Melech La Esther. The king said to Esther, it's Pasuk Vav. And here she's called Esther Amalka.
Well, she just finished.
Vayemer Melech Vaham Lishtis and Esther Amalka. So all of a sudden in the second mission, the king is affording her honor. He's giving her a title of respect. In the first Mishnah, Reb Shlomo Alkovitz says that what happened between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, it became clear to Achashverosh the role that Esther played in saving his life. Achashverosh's life. Because Mordecai told Esther about the plot of Bigson and Teresh, and Esther told Achashverosh. So that, you know, this like cemented the bond between them. You know, when it became, you know, when it was revealed when it was revealed Esther's role in it, somehow or another he forgot about it. You know, when his memory was replenished, and that it was clear to him Esther's role in saving his life, so then their relationship went to a higher level, and he referred to as Esther and Malka. There's a bite. Let's go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk base. Vayemer Amelech LeEsther, and the king said to Esther, Gam b'yom hasheni, also on the second day, b'mishta yayin, it was the feast, the banquet of wine. Mashe l'sech Esther, what are you asking for? Hamalka, the queen, v'tinasalach, it will be given to you, v'ma b'kosh l'sech, and what do you seek? Ad chatziya malchus v'seyos. These are more or less the same words that he said before. It will be done.
Why does the pasuk refer to Esther as just straight up Esther instead of Esther Malka?
In this pasuk?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it switches. He said to Esther, and then he says Esther Malka. It does both.
Yeah, but the pasuk describes her as Esther, but he talks to her as Esther Malka.
I don't know. I'm saying there's definitely a reason. If you want, I could look into it for you.
When Ahasuerus is...
No!
What did she do wrong?
I mean, the Pasuk shot is because the Pasuk is referring to who she was, and then the Pasuk is quoting his words. So his words are Esther Amalka. But she's Esther. You know, there's no reason to say it twice. You want to see that he's relating to his Amalka, then you look at his words. And when the pasuk is telling you who he's talking to, it says Esther. We're just identifying her. The Yeshiv Lekach does address why it says Esther or Malka. Like, why does he call her by name?
Not only that, the next time the pasuk says that she answered, it does say the time.
Right. Yeah, no, it says in the pasuk that they came to drink with Esther and Malka. It says that the king said to Esther. So then when he talked to her, why do you have to use her name? He's saying, what is your request, Esther and Malka?
Because the request was going to be for her, right?
Yeah.
So for her, she could ask something that Amalka could ask for.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. The Yishev Lekach says that he inserted her name because he wanted to minimize as much as possible what he's willing to do for her. And as much as possible what he wanted to do for her, yes. On the one hand, he's telling her he's going to give her everything. On the other hand, he keeps constricting.
Because he's... That's maximizing.
Malka,
I would think, yeah.
Okay, because originally he was aware that she might be asking for something for herself or for others. And originally he told her, you know, if it's for you, it'll be given to you. If it's for someone else... it'll be done. And he does use basically the same words, but he changes them. He subtly changes. See, Persians are masters of subtlety. He says, whatever you want, Esther Amalka, it'll be done. So he's saying, Esther, you know, for you, I'll do anything. Esther Amalka, now I'm willing to do something for you personally. So even though he's not explicitly taking back his offer to do things for others, but he's placing a stress on her name. Esther, I would do anything for Esther Amalka. Whatever you want, whatever you need, I'd do anything for Esther. And by saying that, he's conveying that he's only doing something for her.
Yeah, but he still has the lashon of...
Because he can't take back what he said by the first Mishnah. This is a way of taking things back, without taking it back.
That Ahasuerus came to the conclusion that if she was asking someone else, it would be for Mordechai. And that he just paid Mordechai. So now he's stressing the fact that I just paid Mordechai. You have nothing else to
perfect,
ask for.
Perfect. That's perfect. That is like a hand in glove. That was perfect. It does it first. The other thing which the Yosef Lekach takes note of You know, there's small shinuyim differences in what he said to the first mission and the second mission. In the second mission, it says v'tinasein lach. V'tinasein in dikduk is feminine. Masculine is v'yinasein. Feminine is v'tinasein. It will be given to you. Now the word it is neither masculine nor feminine. So why in the first mission he said v'yinasein, which is masculine? This is also the Yosef Lakach. And in this pasuk it says v'tinasein, which is feminine. So the Yosef Lakach says as well, because the first mission he was willing to do something for her or for others. So he expresses it in the masculine form to include others, even others who might not be females. Or Mordechai, who's male. But now he's limiting it only to her, so he expresses it in the female form because he's no longer willing to do it for any male. So he'll only do it for her, and she's a female. The Yosef Lakach also says in this pasuk, we had something similar before, that the king said to Esther, "Be'yam Hasheni b'mishteh hayayin," he said to her in the mishteh hayayin. And we'll raise the same question. We know where they are. We know they're at the mishteh hayayin. So why does the pasuk say that he said to her at the mishteh hayayin? So Yosef Lakach said that it's not a point of location or geography, that the pasuk is informing us where they were at the time when they had this conversation, when this dialogue took place. But Mishteh Yayin is the spirit in which the dialogue, the conversation took place. That when he spoke to her, Mishteh Yayin Dik. That the conversation was a Mishteh Yayin conversation. Now what is it about a Mishteh Yayin conversation that's so significant? So before we said, because the inhibitions fall to the wayside, and there was a special grace and a chain that Esther found in his eyes, so the emotions opened up. That was the first mishnah. But over here, it's even more important, because one of the effects that wine has upon the person, it has an effect on the emotions. Yes, it does have an effect on the emotion, which we call love, that it removes the boundaries. You know, on Purim, when people get drunk, I mean, a lot of people are like this. Then they just love everybody. They're all hugging each other and telling each other how great they are, and they're crying if they did anything wrong. I mean, did you know that's what wine does? Another thing that wine does, it has an effect on all the emotions. If someone's besimcha, and this is why we drink wine on Purim, so then when one is not drunk, then the simcha is limited. But when he's drunk, so then the simcha is without boundaries. And another emotion, which is the most important emotion right now, is that when somebody's angry and they get drunk, they will do things they would never do. Someone that's prone to anger should never get drunk. They could kill someone, chas v'shalom. So Yosef Lakach says that over here, Achashverosh is getting drunk because he wants to have an emotional relation, an emotional bond with Esther without limits. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to get drunk, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that when he gets angry, so he shouldn't, his brain shouldn't kick in and say, "I can't kill Haman, he's the viceroy of the country." His anger should know no limits and say, "This guy's got to go." Mishteh Yayin. The Gemara says,
but how did he get drunk one day?
I fail to understand, comprehend what you're asking. How did he get drunk in a one-day feast? And on Vashti said to Achashverosh that my father was able to drink with 1,000 people and he was able to control himself. And you have a few cups and...
Oh, I thought Achashverosh got drunk only at the end of the
ad. Whatever, it's like Vashti accused Achashverosh of not being able to hold his hicker. I mean, hold his quicker liquor. He got drunk with a few cups. So, it's not much of a kasha. He's not as thunk as you drink he is.
What? Can also be that it says Mishteh Yayin because two mishtos, like two mishtos that got caught all the trouble. So now saying it's here at the Mishteh Yayin that the Ula comes from.
Yeah, well, of course, Esther was trying to be Misakin with Klal Yisrael. failed to do by their mishan. So now she's having a mishteh yayin, which is done in the proper way. Instead of having a mishteh yayin to join together with the goyim, she's using a mishteh yayin to break away from the goyim. Because I'll say that Mefarish, that her fasting by the first mishteh was a kapara of a Jew's eating by Achashverosh's mishteh.
That was a party, my
friend. What was a party?
The Yosef Lakach also points out the dimensions of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says this in Maseches. The Gemara says this in Maseches Baba Kama. I mean, it's going to sound a little strange to you, but the Gemara says the dimensions of Eretz Yisrael are 400 parsa by 400 parsa.
Which is around?
It's much bigger than what we have. Yeah. 400 parsa. Well, it's including parts which you might not think is Eretz Yisrael. 400 parsa by 400 parsa.
That's like
1600 mil. 1600 kilometers. In any case, that the Gemara says that that's the dimensions of Eretz Yisrael. 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Achashverosh told Esther, I'm going to give you everything but the Beis Hamikdash. I'm going to give you everything but the right to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he said. But in reality, he did give them the Beis Hamikdash. He did, you know. His son is the one that built the Beis Hamikdash. So, Rukeach also explains why we switched to Lashon Nekeva. By the first party, it says, V'yinasein. And here it says, V'tinasein. So he has another explanation why we switched. He says, because V'tinasein, if you break it up into two segments, is Vitaf Nasan. Vavtaf Nasan. God, Achashverosh, is giving the Taf. And the Gematria of Taf is 400. So even 400 parsa and 400 parsa. Achashverosh is giving the 400. Even Achashverosh is telling here that I'm giving you everything but that, but V'tinasein, Hashem put the words in his mouth that he thinks he's not giving it, but he is giving the 400. He's giving the 400. We should also... Okay, everybody, so we'll stop.